you would. And we told you tonight we were going to sort of switch our service around. Normally we do our missions emphasis at the beginning of the service, but tonight we're going to do our missions emphasis at the end. And I want to say tonight real quickly, I hope that we're going to bring before you tonight a brand new family for our missions program. And I know this family, and these people are folks of integrity, and these folks are folks that have a great work ethic, and these folks that are folks that I know personally have a burden for souls, and they're soul winners. And I'm hoping that our church will support these folk, because these folk are our folk. Brother Zach's going to come tonight, and he's going to share with you a burden that God's laid on his heart. Several years ago, many years ago, my wife and I, when we had our kids, one of the first things we did was we gave them to God, and we wanted God to use them. And let me just encourage your parents that encourage your kids to do the will of God. Amen. And doing the will of God is not always easy. And doing the will of God doesn't always mean they're going to stay around. But Brother Zach's going to come tonight, and he's going to take the rest of the service, and he's going to share with you what God is doing in his heart tonight and Miss Amber's heart tonight. And so you pray for them, if you will. And so, Brother Zach, you come tonight. Amen.
All right, Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles tonight. Please thank you for that. And I know everybody's kind of freaked out right now, and I'm freaked out, to be honest with you. But you know what? God has a plan. Amen? And I tell you what, one thing I'm learning about God is that I just don't know much about God. I don't know. His ways are far beyond our ways, and his path sometimes is so different from the path that we might choose. I'm excited to preach a little bit tonight and just share my burden with you. Such a mixed emotion, and I think you'll understand as we get into this lesson a little bit tonight, and as I try to share with you my burden that God has put on my heart. I tell you, this is no doubt the hardest that it's ever been to preach. I mean, there's no doubt about that. All day, I just felt like there was a huge burden on my heart. And the reason is because I love this church. In fact, the title of this message tonight, if you want to call it a message or whatever you want to call it, a testimony, the title of the testimony tonight is, I love Calvary Baptist Church. And so let's go to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse number 13, please, if you would. And the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye had believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And then I want you to look at verse number 22, if you would, please. Y'all pray for me that God will help me tonight. Verse number 22, the Bible says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now turn to Matthew chapter 16, please, if you would. Very familiar portion of scripture here, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. This is Jesus speaking here, and he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We could all say amen right there. Then I want you to look at one more verse, please, if you would, and we'll not go to any more much, but Psalm 103, Psalm chapter 103, please. And I want you to look at verse number 1. Psalm 103, I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Let's read these two verses, the first two verses. Let's read these verses together. Ready? Begin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We're going to preach tonight on the message of the subject, I love Calvary Baptist Church. So let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, there's no doubt that I need You tonight. God, I stand here, Lord, very weak. Lord, Lord, truly just emotional tonight. And Lord, I don't want to just be a basket case, but I want You to help me, Lord, that I might be able to help our folks, Lord, receive a truth from the Word of God. God, if we just pause for a second and think of how awesome that You are. Lord, many times the way that we see things, it doesn't make sense. And the way that we see the path that You take, it just seems dark. But Lord, we're glad that You're there to guide us and to lead us. And You promised us, Lord, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, that You would never leave us or forsake us. And so, Lord, we're trusting You in that. And Lord, I need Your help tonight. I beg of You, Holy Spirit, please endue me with Your power. God, I don't want to preach alone tonight. I want to preach with Your power resting upon my life. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that You'd please fill me and use me tonight for Your good and for Your glory. We ask that You would receive glory throughout the remainder of this service. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Allow me to just lay a foundation if I can, and then I'll get to my burden here in just a few minutes. Unfortunately, we as humans have a tendency to take the things that God has blessed us with for granted, don't we? The Bible warned us of this in Psalm 103 and verse 2. We read that verse tonight for our scripture reading. And Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We have a tendency sometimes to forget things as human beings. The word forget here, it means to ignore. It means to be oblivious of. It means to cease to care. As I thought about this message tonight and I prayed for God to show me what He'd have me to say, I thought about that, how we forget sometimes the benefits and the blessings of the Lord. And I also thought about how many times we remember that which is important to us, don't we? Think about it. We remember pretty much everybody in here knows when payday is. If I was to ask around, you pretty much know when you're going to get paid, when that check's going in the bank. Maybe you have direct deposit or something like that. And probably pretty much everybody in here knows not only what day it goes in, but you probably have a pretty good idea of what time that money goes in the bank. We remember things that are important to us. Everybody in here tonight, no doubt, remembers your birthday. And you husbands, you better remember your wife's birthday, all right? And these are important things that we remember because they are important to us. How about this? When you mark those days on the calendar for vacation, it's hard to forget about that, isn't it? Because we're constantly looking forward to that. In fact, we're looking forward to going with my in-laws to, we're going on a cruise here in a few months, and I've got a countdown on my phone that says about 108 days, I think, something like that, and I'm counting down the days. And you can be sure of one thing, that Brother Zach and Miss Amber and Taylor May will not forget about that date on the calendar because it's important to us. And the same is true for you. Many of you, you remember what is important to you. We do, don't we? We remember what is important to us. But here in Psalm chapter 103 and verse 2, the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Unfortunately, the daily blessings from God sometimes seem to take a back seat to what we label as important. In fact, I heard a quote, and I thought it was very profound, and it's a great quote. It said, "What if tomorrow we woke up with only the things that we thank God for today?" Think about that and let that sink in for just a moment. What if we woke up tomorrow with only the things that we thank God for today? We sing the song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." But how often do we participate in what that song is talking about? When was the last time you just stopped and thought about how good God has been to you in your life? And the Bible said in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." And all God's people can say amen to that right there, because every single one of us, God, even today, has daily loaded us with benefits. And true were the lyrics that were written to the song, "I have been blessed. God is so good to me." Now, I just want to stand tonight and testify and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and I don't want to forget all His benefits, because God truly has been good to me." I heard about a little boy who was going to the grocery store with his mom as they were getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner, and they went to buy a turkey, and they were back there in the frozen section, and he was just thinking a little bit, and he told his mom, he said, "You know, Mom, it would make a whole lot more sense if we had Thanksgiving after Christmas. That way we'd have something to be thankful for." You see, that's a lot of times we think, sometimes that sounds, maybe that may sound a little humorous tonight, but you know, that's a lot of times how we treat God. We wait for God to do something spectacular in our life, and then we say, oh, God, thank you. You're so good. You're so awesome. And God sits back sometimes, I wonder, and says, but what about the fact that I gave you a breath of life today? What about the fact that you have a family today? And God blesses us every single day. But many times, if we're not careful, we will forget. That is, we will ignore. We will become oblivious to. We will cease to care about the blessings of God that He has blessed us with. Such as, think about this. Think about the blessing today of salvation. If you're here tonight and you know with all of your heart that you're on your way to heaven, friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, you got something to be happy about. You got something to thank God. You got something, as we said, God is so good. If nothing else good happened to you today, if you woke up with an assurance in your heart that you were on your way to heaven, and if you were to pass away, you know that you would not have to experience the flames of hell. Friend, we got something to be excited about tonight. Something to shout about as the choir sings. It's good to be saved tonight. But then how about this? Number two, if you woke up this morning with a family, you got something to shout about today. You say, but Brother Zach, I don't have a whole lot of money in the bank. I don't have a big house. I don't have a nice car. But hey, if you got salvation, you got something to be thankful for. If you got a family, if you got somebody who cares about you in your life, hey, you got something to be thankful about. The door daily loads us with benefits. But then thirdly, and this is where I want to focus in just for a minute. If you don't have any of the, well, if you have salvation, you have something to be thankful for. If you have your family, you have something to be thankful for. But I want to focus in on another thing tonight. If you have a church, you have something to be thankful for. This, again, is the one that I want to focus in on tonight. We read in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm glad to be a part of the New Testament church tonight. The word church, as we read it there in Matthew 16, 18, that is the first time the word church is mentioned in the Bible. And the word there comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, which means a called out assembly of believers. Now, many times we refer to the church as the building, but in fact, the church is the body of Christ. The Bible teaches that we, the church, are a called out assembly of believers. And I talked about it last week in the teen class at Vacation Bible School, but I am so glad that I get to be a part of this institution known as the local church. God told us in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Aren't you glad that if we don't have anything else, we can come together on a Wednesday night and gather around the Word of God, and we can sing God, praises to God, and we can enjoy the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Thankful for the church tonight. Specifically tonight, though, I want to just take a second and say this, that though I am thankful for just being a part of the church, the body of Christ, I want to thank God tonight, and I want to say publicly tonight that I love Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. I love Calvary Baptist Church. Now, somebody says, Brother Zach, why do you love Calvary Baptist Church? And I want to answer that question. I got about 10 points, all right? But I'm going to go right down through these. Brother Zach, why do you love Calvary Baptist Church? May I say number one, and again, I am going to go very quickly through these. Number one, because of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Would you turn to Acts chapter 1, please? The Lord showed me something today, and I hope that this will all lead us right into what my dad kind of prefaced this message about tonight. But I love Calvary Baptist Church, number one, because of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4, we'll begin reading there. You know the story here. Jesus has died on the cross. He rose again. He spent 40 days on the earth, and he's now about to ascend back into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And he's given some last minute instructions, if you will, to his disciples before he leaves. And Jesus says in verse number 4, he says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that," notice what Jesus told them, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem." Notice the next two words, "but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." If you go down to verse number 8, you'll find that Jesus tells them that they need to be witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But Jesus made a very clear statement that I found very interesting. Jesus did not say, "Boys, right now, as soon as I go to heaven, I want you to go and I want you to begin ministering." But Brother Looney, he said, "I want you to go and I want you to just wait at Jerusalem. I want you just to be still and tarry. And I want you to wait for somebody else's power to indwell you to where you can do ministry. And I want to tell you, Calvary Baptist Church, before we get up on Sunday morning and come to church and get involved in the ministries of Calvary Baptist Church, we need to just wait for a little while. And we need to get along with God and say, God, I don't want to go another step without you. I need your Holy Spirit's power to indwell me and fill me today that I might minister to these people. What an awesome truth. God said, boys, don't try to do it on your own. You can't do it in your own power. And I say to you tonight, Calvary, that we cannot do ministry in our own power. We must rely upon the Holy Spirit of God if anything good is going to happen in this church. But I do thank God tonight for the presence and power of God that I feel when I come to the assemblies of Calvary Baptist Church. I want to tell you, it's not everywhere. The Spirit that is present tonight is not everywhere in every church. Now, I'm thankful for people that realize that, again, we cannot function outside of the presence and power of God working in their lives. I want to say tonight, thank you, Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you for taking Vacation Bible School so seriously. No doubt many of you, you Vacation Bible School teachers, prayed over your lessons and you asked God for help to help you through those lessons. And I believe that is a result. The result of that was 50 people got saved as a result. We can't take the credit for that. But because of the presence and power of God in this place, he receives the glory. This is a place of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, this is a place with a people with a mind to work. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 5, Nehemiah said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto a half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I'm so thankful tonight, and I love Calvary Baptist Church because of the presence of God. But number two, because there's a people with a mind to work. Thank you, Calvary, for having a spirit, having a desire in your heart that says, you know what, I'm willing to lose a little sleep. I'm willing to go a little above and beyond the call of duty to make it exciting for young people and to make it a little bit better and to set up decorations around the property and to go the extra mile. Thank you for having a heart and a mind to work. Glad I go to Calvary Baptist Church. I love Calvary Baptist Church because of the presence of God, because of the people with a mind to work. Number three, because of a passion for souls. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, you know that. That's the Great Commission. And Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth, into the world. Amen. I'm glad we go to a church that believes in the Great Commission. Hey, listen, it's not happening everywhere, Calvary. We better be thankful for what God has given us here at this church, because we go to a church that has the presence of God, and we go to a church with people who have a mind to work, and we go to church with some people who have a passion for souls. And may I just quickly say, and I got to run on, but may I quickly say, if we ever lose that passion, this church will cease to be great. We must care for the souls of men. But then let me say number four, letter D. I'm glad I go to this church, or I love Calvary Baptist Church because of their persistence through trials. James 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Thank you for going on in the trials. Boy, there's some of you in here tonight, you could have stopped, you could have quit, you could have given up a long time ago, but you made a determination in your heart that no matter what happens, no matter what the devil does, no matter what storms come, no matter what valleys you go through, you're just going to stay faithful to God and to the house of God. Thank you for staying persistent. Number E, letter E. I'm thankful I go to this church because of this, because of the potential for the future. Proverbs 29, 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Thank you for having a vision for what God is going to do at this church. Thank you for having a vision for the souls that will be saved, for the buses that will be run, for the Sunday school classes that will be started, for that building that will be built. Thank you for having a vision for potential for the future. Letter F. I'm glad I love Calvary Baptist Church tonight because of its position upon the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. I am so glad that I go to a church that preaches the King James Bible. Thankful for a pastor that stands and preaches, thus saith the Lord. And we don't try to sugarcoat it, but we just try to put it out there exactly as God said it. I mean, I'm thankful that we go to a church that says this is black and this is white and this is right and this is wrong. Glad I go to a church that has a position upon the truth of the Word of God. May I say letter G? I'm glad and I love Calvary Baptist Church because of a pastor who is faithful. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the edifying of, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Aren't you thankful for your preacher tonight? Listen, can I just say something? Please don't take it for granted. Because there's a lot of churches who would just about do anything to have a preacher who had a little bit of vision. Hey, and we ought to thank God, and we ought to jump up and click our heels together and just thank God time and time again. Say, God, thank you for our pastor. No, he's not a perfect man. We don't expect him to be perfect, but he has a vision for the church, and he wants to see souls saved, and he has a desire to preach the truth. And we ought to just get so excited because we have a pastor who is faithful. He's a man who has stood through the test of time. He is a man, and I'm not here to promote a man, you understand that, but God has given us. Did you notice that what it said there? And he gave some pastors. That is a gift from God that God has given to us, our pastor, and we ought to take care of him and love him and cherish him. I love Calvary Baptist Church. Let's review quickly. I love Calvary Baptist Church because it's a place with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, a people with a mind to work, a place that has a passion for souls, persistence through the trials, potential for the future, position upon the truth, a pastor who is faithful, letter H. Because of patience with people. I'm just telling you why I love Calvary Baptist Church tonight. Proverbs 14, verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. I can't tell you how glad I am that I go to a church that runs buses. Brother John, we talked today on the phone about Nasir and Courtney. And everybody who knows Nasir and Courtney knows that they give us a time. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad I go to a kind of church that lets Nasir and Courtney come. Because there's a lot of churches who would say, they ain't coming in our church. We just got clean carpet. We just got new bathrooms. We're not going to let them scuff up our walls and all that. But I'm glad that I go to a church that has patience with people. But I'm also glad to go to a church that has patience with new Christians. I love this church. I'm going to tell y'all why I love this church tonight. I'm trying to tell you a little bit from my heart. I love Calvary Baptist Church because I've saw some pretty rough people come in this church. And I saw some people in these pews who just say, hey, I love you. So glad you came. I mean, I'm so glad you came today. When most churches would have said, hey, he's not welcome. Put him in the back. Don't let anybody see him come in. This church said, hey, come on down here and sit with me. It's okay. You're welcome here at Calvary Baptist Church. And I want to tell you something, Calvary, we better never get to the place where we get too good. Hey, if they do get a building put over here, I'm going to tell you something. If a drunk walks in, somebody go back there, put your arm around him and say, hey, come sit with me. Because I'm going to tell you what that drunk needs. He needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he can be set free from his alcoholism. And that bus kid needs to hear somebody who loves him. And somebody who says, I know you don't know how to act. And so I'm going to put my arm around you and tell you how you're supposed to act. Amen. Hey, I love Calvary Baptist Church because of their patience with people. And then, letter I love Calvary Baptist Church because of the product on display. What are you talking about, Brother Zach? 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I look out across this crowd tonight. We could take some testimonies tonight of people who said, you know, I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be addicted to pornography. I used to be addicted to drugs. But a church loved me, and they showed me the gospel of Christ, and Christ sobered me up and made me a new creature. Boy, as I look across this building tonight, I see people who can stand and testify of the grace of God, where God has brought you from. And that's why I love Calvary Baptist Church. And I honestly believe that this list tonight could continue on and on and on. And I want to say this, Psalm 115, verse 1, the Bible says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, may we always remember it's by the grace of God that this church is what it is. We give God all the glory that our church is, all of these things and more. But this is the main part that I want to get to tonight. Because God has given us a church like this, a church with a presence and power of the Holy Spirit, a church with people who have a mind to work, a church with people who have a passion for souls, a church with people who have been persistent through the trials, a church that looks forward to the potential for the future, and they have a position upon the truth, and a pastor who is faithful and patience with people, and a product on display. Can I say something tonight? Now God wants a new thing to be added to this list. Because God has given us such a wonderful place like Calvary Baptist Church, I want to say something tonight. It's time to add the word pattern to that list. I grew up at this church, and Brother Marty, can I have this yellow mic? I grew up at this church from a very young age. In fact, I can remember being in Miss Debbie's class for the first Sunday we were here. I sat with Shannon Riddle that morning, and we sat down in the class. Miss Debbie taught her lesson. And I still remember Mom and Dad, how we were so excited when we left from this church, knowing that God was working and that God was probably going to put us here. And boy, what an amazing ride that it has been to be at this church and to love the people of God and to see what God has done in this little church, this little small church that started out with four cars in the parking lot and 20 people in attendance. 322 walked in this building last week. 50 people got saved. We rejoice in the Lord for what he's done here at Calvary. But as I've watched God work and as God has allowed me, and I just give him the glory for allowing me to have a position at this church, and I want you to understand that it's been the joy of my life to have a position here at Calvary Baptist Church. This church means more to me than anybody could ever know. But just a few months ago, many of you remember Brother Jamie Smith, he came to our church, a missionary to Chile. And that night, just a normal service, just like always, and I sat there in my chair and I led the singing. And that night, I walked to the back, and Brother Smith, he began to preach. In fact, his wife came up to sing. She sang a cappella that night. I went back to my wife and sat down beside her. To be honest with you, my dad and I had rode in the car just a few months before this. My dad asked me about what I wanted to do in the future, and this is what I told my dad. I said, "Dad, to be honest with you, I'm comfortable. I love working for Calvary. I love my job. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my daughter. I love it. I'm comfortable. I have no reason to move, no reason to do anything." But I sat back there on that back row over here on this side. And the Holy Ghost of God moved by my way, Brother Looney. And he said this, "Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone to stay in my will?" I didn't tell my wife that. He said that night. Of course, not audibly. I didn't tell my dad that the Lord had been working in my heart. But I came down here to this altar and I bowed right there. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with me in the future, but God, I just want you to know I surrender right here. And Lord, help me not to get so comfortable, Lord, that I just shut you off. Because, Lord, I just want to do your will." In fact, I looked in the silver book tonight, that song, "It's My Desire." And I basically said, "Lord, it's my desire to serve you. And I don't want to move and I don't want to go away. And I love where I'm at and I love being near my family and I love all of that. But God, if you tell me to move, I'll move." I just surrendered that night a little bit to God. A couple weeks after that, we went to the Spiritual Leadership Conference. I still have not told anybody about this, not even my wife. And God began to work. The guys who were with us, they know how God worked in our hearts that week. And I really didn't say anything to them. Brother Chappell had talked very much about church planning and things of that nature. And boy, God was working in my heart. And I just went down to the altar a few times and said, "Lord, I don't know what you want, but I'm open to your will." I came back, and there was no doubt in my mind that God had put a burden in my heart about planning a church. I didn't say anything to anybody. I understand sometimes you can have an emotional decision when you go to a conference. I said, "Lord, if this is your dealing, I want to make sure it's you." That Monday, I told my wife, Brother Looney, I said, "I just want you to know God's working in my heart about something. And I want us to start praying." And so that's exactly what we did. Every morning, without fail, as far as I know, we've not missed a morning. Beginning, the day we got back from the Spiritual Leadership Conference, before I walk out the door, my wife gives me a kiss, and then we bow in prayer right there at the door. And so I said, "This is the prayer I would pray every morning." I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing in my heart, but I know you're doing something. Whatever it is, as soon as you tell me, Lord, I'll do it. I don't care what it is, I'll do it, Lord." That same day, I got a call from Brother Timothy Braddock. I had not spoken with Brother Timothy for probably 3 to 4 months before that. And I said, "Brother Timothy, you're not going to believe this." I said, "I don't know why you called, but I said, God's working in my heart." I told him first. I said, "God's working in my heart about church planting." And Brother Timothy just went down to Florida, him and his wife, Miss Sarah, and have planted a church. And I thought, it's no accident that God put Brother Timothy in my path. But I still didn't say anything. Brother Timothy invited me to come preach the youth rally at his church.
And I, of course, said I would definitely come. God continued to work in my heart. My wife and I were praying. Brother Timothy again had asked me to preach. I went home one night, and I turned on my computer, and I went to Dr. Paul Chappell's website, ministry127.com. And this is what it said on the front page. As soon as it popped up, it said, statistics for pastors, church planters, and soul winners. And this is what Brother Chappell said, and I'm not going to read it all. But he said, when it comes to planting churches, I think we romanticize about the spiritual condition of our nation. Do you wonder how many Americans actually believe the Bible is accurate? Do you wonder which cities need a gospel-preaching church? He says, Barna Group recently conducted a study based on 42,852 interviews nationwide to determine which cities were most or least Bible-minded. First of all, he says, we're in a unique generation. Among the least Bible-oriented cities, Providence, Rhode Island was the lowest. And if you remember your American history, the Rhode Island colony was founded as a haven for Baptists. Providence should be the most Bible-oriented city. As you determine your level of engagement in sharing the gospel, remember, and this I highlighted this, only our generation can reach our generation for Christ. Number two, he said, go where there is a need, not where you feel comfortable. Included in the bottom 10 Bible-minded cities are San Francisco, California, and Las Vegas, Nevada. Most church planters I know are not eager to move their families into cities known as bastions of sin. And I would not question your definite calling from God to plant a church in Knoxville, Tennessee, the most Bible-minded city according to the study. But I do sometimes wonder why God seems to call so many to the areas of the country that are already full of gospel-preaching churches, while so few come to the areas that are rife with sin and need. Maybe our calls are colored by our personal desire. I'm not going to continue. He said, number three, we need to target large cities for new church plants. Sometimes our young men who come to West Coast Baptist College for small churches or rural communities assume by default that they will serve the Lord in a country church. And this is what he said, and this really jumped off the page. He said, people in every community need a gospel preaching church. Amen. If you'd like to read the rest of that, I'd be happy to let you do that. I knew for sure. I told my wife. In fact, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. But I knew one thing in my heart, and I hope y'all would just bear with me just a minute as I share my heart tonight. I knew one thing in my heart is that I was not going to make a move until God spoke to my wife, because I wanted it to be a joint decision. I didn't want to uproot her and take her somewhere, and 6 months down the road, she says, where have you brought me? And if we get somewhere and it's hard, and I'm sure it's going to be, we can both look up and say, God, you brought us here, and we're just going to trust you. So I waited a couple weeks, and I waited for my wife. And one morning, I don't want you to have the wrong idea. My wife had started to, I bought her a book at Spiritual Leadership Conference, and she started journaling her prayers. I never looked at the book, but one morning, I noticed the book was laying open on the counter, and I really didn't even know what it was. And I read a line, and this is what it said: Lord, I know how you're burdening mine and Zach's heart about church planting. And when I saw that God had burdened my wife's heart too, I just felt like God was definitely giving me direction to know that God was working in our heart. I counseled with my dad. We went to my dad and told him that God was working. And then I want you to know, the next Sunday night, my grandfather died. And that night, Brother Looney, I sat there on the steps at my mom and dad's house. And this is what I said: Lord, I guess I'm not going to plant a church. My family needs me. I can't leave my family. But I'm going to tell y'all something. That God separated that night my emotions from my desire. My emotions went wholeheartedly to my family. But there was something in my heart, Brother Looney, still, about those communities. People in every community need a gospel preaching church. And I thought, boy, you know, my wife and I, we began to pray. And we were asking God to show us. And in fact, one day we were counting and saying, you know, this church and this church and this church. We counted up to 10 churches in this local area that are gospel preaching churches. I went out soul winning that day, Brother Terry. And I was just praying by myself. I was all by myself. And I said, God, I need you to give me direction. I have to know this is your will. I knocked on 4 doors that day in this one area, I mean. And in each one of those 4 doors, a different Baptist church was represented in every one of those 4 doors. And it was as if God said, there's another community out there with 4 doors of somebody who has no church. Let's fast forward to July the 11th. There was war in my heart. Should I go? Should I stay? I'm going to affect my daughter. I'm going to affect my wife, my family, my wife's family, the church. There was a tug of war in my heart. It was 3:30 in the afternoon. I was at City Electric Supply, and I was putting up stock just like I always do. Folks, I can't explain this to you, but it was in an instant the peace of God came over my heart. And the tug of war and the war that was in my heart immediately ended. I was walking down an aisle. I had parts in my hand. I took one step, and I sensed God. It was as if God flipped the switch and said, "That's what I want you to do." I stopped what I was doing. I walked into the office there, and I grabbed a piece of paper, and I wrote this on this piece of paper right here. 7/11/13, 3:30 p.m., God called me to plant a church. And I scribbled down a few goals right there. Went home, and I sat down on the chair beside my wife, and I looked at her, and I said, "Honey, I don't know how else to say this, but God said yes. God said yes." I went to my dad's office, and we talked for a while, and I explained to him that God had definitely told me that that's what he wanted me to do. Now, I realize tonight that all of this is a shock to many of you, and I understand. I want you to know something. I told you why I love Calvary Baptist Church. My desire tonight is to take what God has given us here at this church and go take it to another community. There was a community last week somewhere that didn't have a church. They didn't have a church that would do a vacation Bible school where some little kids could come into the church and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But week went after week went after week, and nobody ever knocked on their door, and no church ever came by and said, "Hey, we're having a vacation Bible school. We'd love for you to come." And God is burdened in my heart. I want to just say three things, and I'll be done tonight. I'm sorry for all the emotional aspect of this. First of all, I want to talk about the purpose for this transition. And if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. Because I want you to see why I believe God's called us to do this. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to ask my wife and my daughter if they would to come on up. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. Look what the Bible says here. And we love this verse, don't we? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that a blessing? But I want you to notice the next verse. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Church, I want to tell you tonight, I have a slide I'd like to show you, but I'm not going to take time to do that tonight. There is a desperate need. Not in China. There is a need there. There's a desperate need. Listen to me. Not in Brazil. There is a need there. But I want to tell you something. There is a desperate need in the United States of America. And I, for one, believe that there are people out there who want to hear the gospel of Christ. I, for one, believe that there's somebody out there, Brother Terry, sitting at their house tonight, that if somebody would knock on their door and say, "I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And he loved you enough that God loved you enough, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And he rose again on the third day, and he ascended to heaven, and he's coming back. And if you're not ready, today you can get ready." And I believe that God has told me and my wife and my daughter to go to another community and do that. That's the purpose, to share the gospel of Christ. Number two, the plan for this transition. My dad and I have spoke at length about this. And as long as, you know, as the church, I hope the church will support this. But our goal moving forward is to finish out the remainder of this year of 2013, maintaining my current positions, while in the process mentoring others to take over those positions and continue the work after we leave. Our goal, as of right now, is just within the next 10 to 12 months, we would like to be at least gaining some support and being on our way to the place where God has called us. Now, I know that's the magic question. Everybody's wondering, where are you going, Brother Zach? And I'm just going to be real honest to you tonight. I don't have the answer to that question yet. My dad knows and my mom knows and Amber is very aware that God has put a very distant place on my mind. And I'm praying that God will give us clarity about that. And I want you to pray about that. That leads me to my third and final thing tonight, the prayers for this transition. We come before you tonight. Come on up, honey, if you would. My wife and I and my daughter, we come before you tonight to ask you to support us through this. I can't tell you how riveting this day has been to know that I would stand tonight and try to preach this message to people that I love, to young people who I would give my life where I believe I would. If I haven't proven that, I'm sorry, but I've tried to do the best that I could. I love the young people at this church. And I want you to know something tonight, that I would not do anything to hurt the young people at this church or to hurt the progress of this church. But we are sure that God has called us to do this. And we need our church's support. We need you to stand behind us. We need you to support us. It's going to be so hard to move away from our family, to move away from our comfort zone, to move to a place where we are not, listen, to move to a place where we're not comfortable. But we know that if the people of God will stand behind us, and with God standing behind us, a great work of God. My desire, this is my desire, and I don't know if it'll work like this. We'll just see what happens. I'd love to go somewhere and start the Calvary Baptist Church of that community. I told my dad, I said, I have visions of having a Magnify conference one of these days and inviting my dad to come preach that Magnify conference, having a harvest camp meeting and having some good men of God come in and preach that camp meeting, have a vacation Bible school, have a youth rally, do something for that community just like we are doing in this community. I need you to pray about a few things. Will you write these down if you have the ability? Number one, my desire, and I've studied this and tried to read some articles and just pray about it. I'd really like for my wife and I to be debt-free when we leave so that we're not under the load of a lot of debt. Now, I'm glad to tell you that my dad raised us to where we don't have much debt. So I want you to pray that God will help with that. And this is one of the ways you can pray. I'm trying to sell my truck right now. And as soon as I sell my truck, I'm going to take that money. I'm going to pay off just a little bit of debt we have. And this leads to the next thing. I'm going to enroll into an online Bible college. And I'm going to just try to increase my learning, that God would help me and found me. And I'm going to use that money for that. And then we'll, of course, have to sell our house. And then we would like to take a survey trip to the place where God has called us. And then probably around the first of next year, we're going to start going to churches, local churches, and raising support and asking other churches in this area to support our vision. And so tonight, I just say, and I speak for my wife tonight, no doubt, that we love Calvary Baptist Church. I gave you the reasons why I do. I hope there's no doubting that. Young people, I love you. And I would not do anything, I promise you. Please understand. If I did not know 100% sure with all my heart that this was God's will, I would not move a muscle. But we're sure that God's called us to do this, and we need you to support us. And we need your love, and we just need you. Listen, ladies, love my wife. Support her. Because I'm telling you, this is going to be a total transition. We're not used to the places that we're going, I'm sure of that. So young ladies and the girls, and I hope you'll just love Miss Amber and let her know you support her. I'm going to tell you, if there has ever been anybody to stand by her man, this lady right here has done that. I'm going to tell you what, I know that some men in America tonight, if they were to go tell their wife that they were going to move her far away from her family to start a church, they would say, over my dead body. But I'm going to tell you, she's been submissive through this whole thing. And she's prayed with me every morning. And so we need your prayer tonight. I love every person in this building. And if anybody doubts that, I'm sorry. I love y'all. We want to do God's will. That song that we sung, we would not even try to sing it now. But I'd like to just quickly read you the lyrics to that song that the Lord gave me just a couple weeks ago as I've been praying about this. Like Jesus in the garden when he prayed, "Thy will be done. Father, help me to be less like me and to become more like your son. There's a world that needs to hear the blessed story of your grace. Lord, endue me with your power as I daily seek your face. Teach me to do your will. Lord, with your spirit fill, mold and make me in your image, that to the world I might reveal your saving grace, your sweet embrace. Please teach me to do your will. Lord, give me clear direction into the places I should go. I need your spirit's power, and that it's with me, I must know. My soul is thirsting for you, Lord, as a dry and thirsty land. I am stretching forth my hands to you. Please direct me in your plan." Psalm 143:10, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Let's just bow in prayer. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and take the remainder of the service. Thank you for listening so well tonight. I love you, and I appreciate you very much.
Father, we thank you for your blessings tonight. We thank you for your sweet presence that's here this evening. And Lord, thank you for letting us be a part of a church like this. And Father, maybe there's others tonight who just need to follow the example that's been set by them this evening. And maybe you've been dealing with their heart, Lord, about something that you want them to do. And God, maybe tonight, through Brother Zach's testimony, maybe tonight you've revealed to them that it's time to surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him and in his presence daily live. Lord, maybe there's some others tonight. And it could be ministry. It could be some type of decision about their family. It could be a number of things. But maybe tonight folk just need to gather around this old-fashioned altar and surrender all to him. Bless, I pray, in the invitation. And we thank you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, can I just ask this question before the piano plays tonight? Is there one here tonight anywhere who would say, "Preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. And I want you to pray for me." And you just raise your hand right now. You'd raise it up right now and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not saved. Would you pray for me?" And you'd raise it right now. Is there one like that anywhere?